Morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus 5. We'll read the whole chapter. Exodus 5. Exodus chapter 5. And afterward, Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please, let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Otherwise, he will fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you draw the people away from their work? Get back to your labors." Again, Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now many, and you would have them cease from their labors." So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters over the people and their foremen, saying, "You are no longer to give the people straw to make bricks as previously. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the quota of bricks which they were making previously you shall impose on them. You are not to reduce any of it. Because they are lazy, therefore they cry out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Let the labor be heavier on the men, and let them work at it so that they will pay no attention to false words." So the taskmasters of the people and their foremen went out and spoke to the people, saying, "Thus says Pharaoh, I am not going to give you any straw. You go and get straw for yourselves wherever you can find it, but none of your labor will be reduced." So the people scattered through all the land of Egypt to gather stubble or straw. The taskmasters pressed them, saying, "Complete your work quota, your daily amount, just as when you had straw." Moreover, the foremen of the sons of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, "Why have you not completed your required amount, either yesterday or today, in making bricks as previously?" Then the foremen of the sons of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, saying, "Why do you deal this way with your servants? There is no straw given to your servants, yet they keep saying to us, 'Make bricks.' And behold, your servants are being beaten, but it is the fault of your own people." But Pharaoh said, "You are lazy, very lazy. Therefore you say, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' So go now and work, for you will be given no straw, yet you must deliver the quota of bricks." The foremen of the sons of Israel saw that they were in trouble because they were told, "You must not reduce your daily amount of bricks." When they left Pharaoh's presence, they met Moses and Aaron as they were waiting for them. They said to them, "May the Lord look upon you and judge you, for you have made us odious in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us." And Moses returned to the Lord and said, "O Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh and to speak in your name, he has done harm to his people, to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all." Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, God, for this morning. We just invite your presence to be with us and to speak to us, God. And we're so thankful to be together and to be with you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we know this story. Most of us probably know the story of Exodus. You guys know that Israel is now in captivity. Not captivity, but they went there, you know, with the story of Joseph, how he became the leader in Egypt, and he brought his whole family over. And when the family came over, the sons of Israel, they grew into this big nation, and a new Pharaoh comes along that doesn't know Joseph, and he feels quite threatened by this great big nation that's kind of rising up amongst the sons of Israel, and they start oppressing them. They put them into slavery. And for hundreds of years, they're in slavery and in oppression. And finally, God calls this man Moses to come and be the deliverer, right? God calls Moses to go and face Pharaoh and to tell Pharaoh, let my people go, and to deliver the people of Israel, because God has heard the cries of the people of Israel. So we know that in the previous chapter, Moses speaks to God, right? There is a burning bush, and Moses checks out. Well, how is this burning bush? It's burning, but it's not burning up. So he goes and checks this out, and he realizes, man, God is in that place, and God speaks to him very clearly to say, I want you to go be my spokesperson and rescue the people of Israel. And what does Moses say? Moses says, no way. There's no way I'm going to go. I'm just he thinks he's a failure, right? Because he failed big time when he was in Egypt and he wanted to rescue his own people his own way. And he actually gets, he kills one of the Egyptian slave masters and realizes people have found out. He thinks he's going to die, so he runs away. And for 40 years, he's in the wilderness taking care of sheep. So Moses says, God, no way, I'm not going to go. And God says, no, it's okay, I'll be with you. And Moses says, no way, I'm not going to do it. And God says, no, I'll be with you. And Moses says, okay, well, how are they going to know that you sent me? And God performs all these miracles, throwing the staff and putting his hand into his cloak, and he takes it out, and it becomes leprous, and he puts it back in, and it becomes normal. After all these things, you know what Moses says? Moses says, I'm sorry, God. Can you please just send somebody else? And God gets a little angry, and he says, what's wrong with you? And then he says, fine, your brother Aaron, he's already on his way to meet you. He will be my spokesperson, but you go with him. I'll tell you, and you tell Aaron, and Aaron will tell Pharaoh. So that's kind of what's happening here. So what I want to get to is, it could not have been clearer for Moses that this was something that God wanted him to do. Can we agree on that, right? It can't be any clearer. He sees this miraculous burning bush, and God speaks to him from the fire, and many, many chances for Moses to say, are you sure? I don't think you got the right person. I don't think I should be doing it. And God again and again and again affirms him and says, no, this is something that I've called you to do. But what happens? After all these clear confirmations that God is the one that has called him to do it, what happens when his first real task of facing up to Pharaoh and saying, Pharaoh, God has sent me, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews has sent me, you need to let my people go, and he gets rejected, right? He is met with an obstacle, and he's faced with failure, right? It doesn't happen. The thing that he feels so strongly, that God has called me to do this, it doesn't work out. And that's what I want to talk about today. I think many of us, we often feel, I think intellectually we probably know otherwise, but we feel like if something is God's will, if God has called me to do this thing, we often feel that it's going to be smooth, right? That it's going to be easy and there won't be obstacles and it'll just kind of happen. Because God's called me to do it, I'm going to obey and it's just going to be boom, it's going to happen. Moses, it seems like Moses also felt this way. If you look in chapter 4, I don't have the exact passage right now, but if you look in chapter 4 when God is telling Moses what's going to happen, God actually says to Moses, well, Pharaoh is going to say no. Right? I'm going to harden his heart, and he's going to say no, and it's going to be difficult. And then eventually, we're going to have to, Pharaoh is going to lose, all of Egypt is going to lose their firstborn. God actually gives Moses some predictions. You know, like God tells Moses, it's going to be difficult. And yet, when Moses is faced with this difficulty and rejection, it's almost as if he forgets all that God has said previously, and he comes to God in verse 20, 22, and he says, oh Lord, why did you ever send me? You know? Ever since I came to Pharaoh, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. He just comes before God in complaint. It's funny, because God told him it's going to be like this. And yet, Moses must have thought, God's will, I'm going to go, and it's just going to happen. And that's how we feel. Intellectually, we know that that's not necessarily the case. But we feel like, man, if God's told me to do it, then I'm going to do it, and it's just going to be easy. And it's going to be smooth. And when it doesn't happen, we, like Moses, go before God with complaint, or we get filled with discouragement or doubt, or, you know, we just don't know. Is God saying this? God not saying that? You know, sometimes if you look in the stories of the Bible, it's true that if it's God's will, it happens very smoothly. If you look at the stories of the disciples, when Jesus sends the disciples to get a donkey for him to come into the city of Jerusalem, Jesus says, well, go to this man, grab the donkey, and when he asks you, say, the master needs it, and he will let you have it. And the disciples do it. They go, and they find the donkey, and they're going to take him, and they say, hey, what are you doing? Well, the master needs it. And they say, okay, go ahead, and they take the donkey. When the disciples have to get the Passover meal ready, they have to find a place where they can have the Passover meal, Jesus says, well, go and find this man, and says, the master needs the room for the Passover meal. And he will say, okay. And the disciples go and they ask him and they say, yeah, it's okay, use it. And to be honest, I think that's the kind of God's will that I want to obey. You know, I just want it to be like that. God says something, okay, Lord, and I'm going to go and I'm going to say something. And it'll just, they'll be like, yeah, go for it, do it, you know. God wants me to share Christ with my colleague. You know, go and share something and yeah, I'll come to Alpha. You got to pray for my friend. I talked to Sandeep, but I've told her about Alpha, and she, actually, initially, it was like that. I told her, I met up with her, and I said, ah, you should try Alpha, and she was really keen. She was like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. And then she didn't sign up next few days, and I've been texting her, and she seems a little, like, resistant. She's like, doesn't want to talk to me, so I don't know. We got to pray for her. But, we want it to be like that. We think it'll be smooth. We just go and do it and it's smooth. But really, if you look at throughout scriptures, I think much more often it's God's will require a lot of work, a lot of perseverance, and a lot of resilience on our part, you know, on the part of the human. You know, so you look at Nehemiah, God clearly has given him a burden to go and build a wall in the city of Jerusalem, and Nehemiah goes. He's very sure that God has called him to do it, but he's met with obstacle after obstacle, and it's very difficult. And he has to find strength in his own heart to say, you know what, I'm not going to give up. He has to remain resilient, even though it is very difficult what God has called him to do. Paul's missionary work, right? We think, man, Paul, you know, God's obviously called him to do the work of sharing the gospel to the Gentiles, and we think, I think we feel it, you know? Why is it so difficult, you know? Paul goes, and he has to work so hard, and he's beaten, he's persecuted, he's rejected, and doors are closing, so he has to go to different cities. And we see throughout the story of Paul, it's hard work, perseverance, resilience. Even when we think about, like, God's will to save mankind, I mean, God wants to save people, but it wasn't just a smooth task, right? It took a lot of hard work, persistence, and resilience on the part of Jesus Christ to say, I'm going to go through the difficulty, right? And I'm going to accomplish the Father's will. So, just a few takeaways for us this morning. Number one is, if you're going through something and it's very difficult, it could be that God has called you to do that. Like, you don't have to be like, oh, just because it's been difficult or challenging or you're faced with obstacles, that you take that as a sign to say, oh, this must not be something that God's called me to do. I think that will be a mistake for us to make, right? So even if you're going through a difficult time right now, trying to obey God in something, don't think that it's not God's will just because it's difficult. I've been taking EG with my youth group. We just finished about a month ago. But in EG, one of the lessons is that you cannot judge the truth of a circumstance just by what you see, right? Circumstances might be telling you one thing, but, you know, Henry Blackaby, the writer of EG, he says, but you have to get your truth from the person of truth, Jesus Christ himself. That you can't judge a circumstance just by what you see and what is happening, but you have to get the truth from Jesus Christ himself of a situation. So, yeah, whatever it is, sharing the gospel with our parents, with our friends, the circumstance might be telling us, man, it's never going to work, or it's difficult, or, you know, whatever. You know, you're trying to go on a mission trip and there's no provision, and you think that's not going to happen. But we have to get the truth from the Lord, and really, I mean, kind of like Moses, we have to be able to say clearly, man, I'm very sure that this is what God has called me to do, and not depend on circumstances to answer that. And the second takeaway, and this is big for me personally, is we have to be resilient, right? As Christians, as, you know, in some sense, as soldiers in God's army, right? He's called us to do different things and accomplish his will and to build his kingdom here. We have to be resilient. I think the danger of us just kind of letting ourselves feel like if it's God's will, it should be easy, is that when it becomes difficult, then we just give up and we say, oh, maybe it wasn't God. Or we just don't even, we don't put the work that is necessary for us to accomplish the will of God. So a good example for me is evangelism. I think evangelism is definitely God's will. He's called me to share the gospel with different people. But every time I try and do it, like I talk to a stranger or whatever, it seems difficult and nothing seems to come out of it. And I think at one certain point in my life, I think I told myself, I forget it. That's too difficult. Like, it's never going to work. Now I'm verbalizing it, but before today, I probably wouldn't have verbalized it, but I was thinking it like, oh, it's too difficult. I've tried it. You know, I've tried evangelizing. I've tried talking to strangers and sharing the gospel and praying for people, but nothing seems to come out of it. And I just say, forget it. But that's so wrong. No, it's still God's will. It just means I have to be resilient. Even if it's difficult, I have to say, you know what? Sure, of course it's going to be difficult, but I'm going to have to persevere through and not be so weak-hearted at times. So that's my thing. And whatever it is for you, you know, if God's called you to do it, it doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth. You just have to be really resilient and strong and find that strength in God. So this morning, I mean, I guess what I want to ask you to do is, what are some things that God has called you to do? Just meditate on that. Think about that. This year, last year, the year before, what is it that God has put on your heart? Like, you know that this is something that God has called you to do, but maybe you haven't done it, you know? And write it out, you know, write it down and say, I'm pretty sure this is something that God's called me to do. And then I want us to have a long-term perspective, meaning even if you didn't do it last year, and it was difficult, doesn't mean just because you didn't do it and it was hard and you were faced with obstacles last year or the year before that it stopped being something that God's wanted you to do. He still probably wants you to do it. And if you can pick it back up this year and move, you know, improve on it a little bit and then continue on next year and just have a long-term perspective. Let's say in 10 years' time, whatever God has placed on your heart today or last year or the year before, can we say it's kind of gotten a little bit further along? So maybe I'll just share with you. For me, it's scripture memorization. So I was doing it for a while, Ephesians, and Tyler is there, and he was the one that really kind of spoke to me about it and encouraged me to do it, and I really felt like it was a God thing. And I did it, and then I stopped doing it. And it's very difficult. You know, it's difficult to do, honestly. But, you know, I can't just give up and say, just because it's difficult, I'm just not going to do it. I was joking with my wife today that, yeah, coming to EMP, God's will, right? I mean, you know, but God's will through our pastor. We know at least once a week we should come to EMP. But just because it's God's will doesn't mean you're just going to wake up, you know? Sometimes you do. That's God's grace. But other times we have to set the alarm and resist the temptation to go back to sleep, and we have to come to EMP. So anyway, let's go before the Lord. Andrew's going to lead us in a song. Thank you, God, for bringing us to this place. And thank you for so many stories in your scriptures, God, that help us, that encourage us to endure, that encourages us to persevere and to actually work very hard, God. And I'm sorry for always wanting just a convenient thing. I want the stories of those disciples where they just went and asked for something and they got it. And that's the kind of story that I want to walk out. But Lord, that's not always the case. And for all of us, God, maybe some things, God, it's going to be like the stories of the disciples. But in the other things, it's going to be like the story of Moses and Nehemiah, where they were faced with obstacles and they had to persevere and they were faced with trials and difficulty. And I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, as a church, as individuals, Lord, to be resilient, God, to be strong. Yeah, we need your strength, God. Thank you, Lord. thank you, God. Thank you that you are the faithful one. I think on the one side of the coin is us working hard, resilient, persevering. The other side of the coin is God is faithful. He is the one that will carry us through. So thank you for that. Thank you for that reminder, God, that you are so faithful. The reason why we can persevere and work hard is because you are faithful and we can trust you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our church. I know these guys are going through difficult times. Let's pray for them to persevere, to be resilient. Let's that they won't lose hope, that they will turn to the faithful one. So let's pray. Pray for our friends for healing. Pray for strength and for faith in their hearts. Let's pray together. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that are battling illness, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for them to come to know God. Let's also pray for our church members, whose family members are in this position. Let's pray that they will be able to share the gospel. Let's pray for anointing and divine appointments where they can share the gospel to their family members. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for various church members going through infirmity, battling different sicknesses. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for God's power to be released upon them. Let's go to the fourth slide. Let's pray for our friends looking for a job. Let's pray for a breakthrough and pray for God's direction over them. Let's pray against discouragement for them. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Let's just pray for our city. Let's pray God's blessing over our city. Let's pray for peace. Let's pray against the anger and the violence. Let's just pray for good leadership. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for the churches here to really be a light in our city. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for the Spirit of God to move. Let's pray for all these various ministries that's up there. Let's pray for God's anointing and leadership over the ministries. Let's pray together. Let's pray for the staff. PSAM is back today, this morning, so let's just pray that he would be well, that he will recover from a trip to the U.S. Let's pray that he would be able to really, the Holy Spirit will really speak to him through all the things that he learned this past week and about how we can implement this love after marriage kind of workshop in our church as well. So let's pray for him, pray for his wife and the kids and all the other staff members. Just pray for strength and for unity and pray for the families and protection. So let's pray for the staff. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound and the audiovisual team. Let's pray for a heart of worship, heart of excellence. Let's just pray for the team to be able to work hard together in this ministry. So let's pray together. Pray for the hospitality ministries, the welcoming team and barista. Let's pray for P. Ricky and Ash as they lead these two ministries. And let's pray for a real heart of love for the volunteers. And that through this ministry that so many people that come to church would feel so loved and welcomed. So let's pray. Let's pray for God's anointing upon our hospitality ministers as well. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today. You can see them on the list. Let's pray for each house church to have a powerful time. Pray for the leaders, and let's pray that it'll be a real meaningful time, a real fruitful time of discussion and praying for one another, ministering to one another. So let's pray for our house churches. Father God, just want to thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for the word. Thank you for your encouragement for us to endure and be resilient. And I also thank you for the time of worship where we're reminded that you are faithful. Because you're the faithful one, we can be confident and we can persevere, God, even through obstacles and difficulty. And I pray for some of us here that maybe aren't sure what it is that you've called us to do. God, I pray, would you help us, God, to hear your voice and to have encounters with you, God, where we can really get direction from you as well. And Lord, this day we submit it to you. Let it be pleasing to you, God, everything that we do, our thoughts, our actions, our words, God. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.